Now, lastly, avihinksa, or non-cruelty. Hinksa is violence or harm, and vihinksa is extreme, deliberate infliction of pain and suffering. Vihinksa is a very strong word in Pali and Sanskrit, so we can best translate it as cruelty. Its connection with hatred is obvious, but it's much worse than hatred, because it generally connotes a wanton infliction of pain, or a positive pleasure in the infliction of pain. And in the Mahayana form of Buddhism, at least, cruelty, in this sense, is considered the greatest of all possible sins. Very often, of course, especially in the case of children, it's due to simple thoughtlessness. They don't realize that other forms of life do suffer. So it is important that those of us who have dealings with children, whether as parents or as educators, should try to instill into children a sense of the fact that other living beings are living beings. They do feel, that they do suffer if you poke your finger into their eye or you stick a pin into them in a sensitive place. Children don't always realize this. And sometimes if they see an animal that they've just kicked, wriggling or howling, they'll be quite amused because they don't realize that pain has been inflicted. So those who have anything to do with children should be very careful to see that they are brought up to understand that just as they feel suffering, other forms of life too feel suffering. There's a little incident in the life of the Buddha illustrating this. Once, it is said, when the Buddha was going out of the monastery on his arms round, he found a gang of boys tormenting a crow which had broken its wing. And they were tormenting it, as boys usually do, and enjoying it. So the Buddha called to them, and he just put a question. He said, "If you are struck, do you feel hurt?" They said, "Yes." So then the Buddha said, "Well, when you hit the crow also feels hurt. So when you yourself feel pain and suffering, why should you inflict it on another living being?" So a very simple lesson, but usually, if you put it to the child in this way, the child can understand, and subsequently he can act upon that. And if this sort of thing is not checked at an early age, at an early stage of growth, it can get worse and worse and worse, culminating in even quite terrible atrocities. I don't know whether any of you know them, some of you probably do, but I remember seeing some time ago Hogarth's four rather terrible paintings of the four stages of cruelty. The first one showed a gang of boys tormenting a dog. And the boys progressed as their lives went on. And in the fourth and last painting, you saw one of them, now grown up, committing a murder. This is where it has led to. He'd started by tormenting a dog. He finished up by committing a murder. So we shouldn't make light of this sort of connection, and we shouldn't think when we see a child tormenting a dog or even kicking a dog or a cat that, oh, it doesn't matter, it'll grow out of it. We must be careful to explain, because it's here that the seeds of violence and cruelty are sown. So here's another question for us to ask ourselves, whether we, since we took up Buddhism or took up with Buddhism, have become less cruel. And cruelty, remember, is not just physical, it's also verbal. So many people indulging in very harsh, unkind, cutting, sarcastic speech. This is also a form of cruelty. In the same way, we may say, it should be impossible for a Buddhist, that is to say, one in whom perfect vision and perfect emotion have arisen, to indulge in things like blood sports. If you tell me that you know the Abhidharma very well, and at the same time you go off indulging or engaging in blood sports every Sunday, well, I shan't take your knowledge or understanding of the Abhidharma very, very seriously. Now, this is an extreme sort of case. Most people nowadays don't indulge in blood sports, though there are still some, unfortunately, who do, and who try not only to condone them, but even defend them. But from a Buddhist point of view, from the point of view of right emotion or perfect emotion, this is quite inadmissible on account of the very definite wanton cruelty involved. Another connected point is, of course, this whole question of vegetarianism. many people just feel that they cannot take meat or they cannot take fish because here again cruelty is involved, very often deliberate and wanton. There is no hard and fast rule in Buddhism that if you want to be Buddhist you must be a vegetarian, but certainly a sincere Buddhist, one who's trying to follow the Eightfold Path, in whom perfect vision has arisen, in whom perfect emotion is beginning to stir, will certainly make some sort of effort, some sort of move in this direction, because as he progresses on the spiritual path, his own heart, his own feelings will become sensitive, so that eventually things like eating meat just drop off of their own accord.